Under general administration, visited at the sewer board meeting yesterday.
Yes, sir.
John Suti mentioned that Mr. Earhart, who was the main citizen concerned about the blasting on our project, had come by his office, said very kind, positive things about the blasting. And I went down there. I was there myself.
You said you were there when it blasted.
And I was watching. I probably did feel it, but I didn't feel it. I didn't notice it.
Really?
It didn't even shake. But I mean, it just go whoosh. You know, it did raise it up pretty good. Fly or nothing. And anyway, it was a very nice blast. My main point is, Mr. Earhart came in and said I was going to let you know if it was bad. I'm going to let you know if it's good, and it was good.
Excellent.
And he brought this to the sewer board.
That's good.
And so I'm sending him just a little bit of a letter.
Yeah, that's good.
In that conversation, he went on to tell me, and he mentioned that you would be interested to go to your side on the Spring Creek area that we're doing, dam side and Spring Creek. There are a number of mobile homes in behind the settle in.
Yep.
I didn't, because I knew there was bad things happening in here. I was getting off the phone as quick as I could, so I didn't get all the details. But what I understood was Branson is requiring some super-duper new meters on each property that they can wave a wand. They don't have to get out of their truck to read the water meter.
I heard that they're upgrading some stuff, yeah.
And these folks, I guess there are some folks that are pretty upset about it.
To the cost?
You may be hearing about it, yeah. It's like $600 or something. But anyway. It's
a super duper thing, though. That's pretty cool.
Are they in the county still behind the settle in?
Yeah, it's one of those areas where they're city all the way around it, but they're just, the streets aren't maintained. They're not even, we don't even maintain the streets.
City needs to take that area, yeah.
And it's just.
Right.
And, you know, someday, probably, they're going to come in there and somebody's going to buy all those pieces.
Right.
And here these poor people pay some ridiculous amount of money, and then it's, anyway, it's an issue. He thinks it's coming in.
I'll have to talk to Larry Van Gilder and see what he's
doing. Yeah.
That's all. After Larry leaves, who gets
Mike Ray.
Mike gets that? Okay.
And David Miller.
David gets some of it. He gets the road side, I think, yeah.
You know, Kara with the health department yesterday and the smoke out, that's David's wife. Did you know that?
David Miller's wife?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't know that.
I tried to study him, but I didn't get done too well.
You said David. I wasn't thinking David.
David Miller. Miller.
Gotcha. Got his in. Well. Here, Frank, this is your meeting.
It is. I didn't even know what we were going to talk about. If we're going to go down this road,
yes, sir,
and talk about those types of things, we have some roads that are currently have been in discussion for a long time. Horizon Hills.
So let's not talk about roads. Let's talk about maintenance of the roads and snow removal. And
from a snow removal perspective, we do have priorities. We do have routes.
Okay.
We have designated routes that are broken up into three different areas of the county, east, middle, and west.
Okay.
The complaints last year, and especially from Mr. Strahan, but I've received many of them myself, were from the T Highway area.
Okay. That would be in the middle section?
That's pretty much middle.
Okay.
The complaints were our lack of response time.
Okay.
And we had a couple of accidents where our drivers went off the road in that area. We also had some vehicular breakdowns where we were not out there because the equipment was broken. And the year before that, we also, T Highway was also an issue. So the discussion has been, we need to do something different to T Highway. We need to be able to respond to that. So there's a couple of things that we've talked about is possibly move a piece of equipment from Sam's side and or Gene's side to help cover T Highway to get more equipment out there.
It's pretty high density.
It is. And my concern, like I mentioned to you this morning, was on Gene's side, it's a vast area. But we are plowing roads, and it is prioritized also, but we are plowing roads that may have four families on it, versus on T Highway, we may have a road that has 100 on it. And so, should we make the conscious decision to where this far out road in the county used to get be responded to in 4 hours might now be 6 or 8 hours in a horribly big storm, to where the...
Well, I think it makes sense. My thinking is it makes sense to prioritize it that way. I mean, I know you already do some roads that are Branson. Branson does some roads with us because of the way the roads intertwine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same with that area. I mean, we should be also looking for density. I mean,
right. So I think we can make those adjustments internally without... It will have some impact because it won't be done the way it's always been done in the past.
Right.
Still primary versus secondary, though, right?
I mean, right. Yeah. In regards to taking more roads in, it has an impact on mowing. It has an impact on snow removal because...
Okay, so let me prompt the question so you can answer questions that we hear.
Okay.
Yeah, I sat through a MoDOT presentation downstairs when we were talking about the Mount Branson barn, and they start talking about their cost of maintaining the road,
mm-hmm.
you know, per foot or per mile. It was per mile, wasn't it?
Per mile.
Per mile. And that was like $7,000.
That's their internal figure statewide.
What do you, for the chip and seal versus gravel versus hot mix, do you have your own numbers?
We do.
How close are I mean,
and is that, if I can interrupt, the $7,000, is that they take their, however how many 100 miles of roads they have, and the cost that goes into all those roads, and they divide it by the miles, right?
Right.
Correct.
And so there might be 100 miles that has maybe nothing done to it.
Absolutely.
Or maybe this
whole it's miles. On the schedule, though.
Right.
It's on the schedule, so the other, some other 100 miles of road may have a gazillion dollars spent.
Right. If we were to, say, overlay a mile right now, of which Hidden Meadows, is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 3/4 of a mile. For a 2-inch overlay, that's about $75,000. For a 1-inch overlay, it's about $38,000 or $40,000. If you were... So today's cost would be that, $35,000, $40,000 for a 1-inch overlay. If we... then we don't do anything to that road for 7 to 10 years. But at the end of 7 to 10 years, it needs another overlay. It will. So if you extrapolate that out, that's $5,000 to $7,000 per year that you would have to dedicate to that mile of road. And so that a lot of that figure comes out. You're right. We chip seal our roads. Our frequency on the chip seal is every 4 to 6 years. We don't do them all. We do them on an as-needed or a cyclical basis. But one would still need to consider that even though we're not doing anything that year, ultimately it's costing us money to maintain that.
Clarify something. The $7,000 that MoDOT uses per mile, but is it per lane?
There's a lot of confusion.
That's why I'm confused.
A typical John Q. Public doesn't understand what a lane mile means.
Okay.
A lane mile is a piece of asphalt that's 12 feet wide by
1 mile long.
1 mile long. That's a lane.
Is that the 7,000 they're talking about as a lane mile?
I don't remember the exact conversation.
Okay. What's our number look like? The numbers
numbers that we use are a 20-foot wide segment.
So
because that's more common to us than
sure, two-lane road.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So when we talk, and our guys, for clarification, so when we start talking, you're thinking a two-lane road,
mm-hmm.
20 feet wide,
right.
Mile long,
unimproved. Well, unimproved to the aspect that there's
no curbs,
no curb and gutter improvements,
and no shoulders.
No. Typically no shoulders.
So you could add 40% to their lane mile figure to equal yours.
Possibly. See, I heard them say lane mile is 12 foot wide.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their numbers are because they manage 4-lane roads mostly right. and some two. So their miles are lane miles.
Mm-hmm. So you should multiply his figures.
But their figures by times two.
Right.
40% actually. Take 40% of his figure and see if it's equivalent to theirs.
But
okay.
Our real
60% is figure. We just put 40.
Our real world numbers come in the history of the database that we have for the past 2 years of doing these types of things. So when our crew goes out there and we purchase $1 million worth of oil a year, and we look at all the data that we've created, we have X amount of people on the job, X amount of vehicles on the job, this type of material, We now have numbers to where I can tell you it cost us, don't have the number on top of my head, it cost us X to do a mile of chip seal 20 feet wide.
Right.
With hot mix, I can tell you the same thing. For a 2-inch overlay of a mile of hot mix, G-Highway is an example, T10, Cedar Park I think is called, was a little bit over a mile, and that was a 2-inch overlay, which is actually considered structural versus something
sealer.
Yeah, versus a 1-inch overlay, which is not structural. 2 inches is the minimum threshold for structural capacity, and 1-inch overlay is something that's commonly done in neighborhoods. So that's half the cost. That's half the material because it's a 1-inch overlay.
That still costs us how much?
$35,000-$40,000 for a 1-inch overlay on 1 mile.
Which you said that's why you're talking $5,000 per year.
Mm-hmm. An overlay, if the substructure is done correctly and you don't have substructure or subsurface failures to where the road is deforming and the form of the road, the 2% crown, remains the same, but the road has this type of deterioration, which is called alligator cracking, or you have what was discussed the other day, this is called raveling. If you look at this, you see that the fines are gone. If you look into a parking lot, it's a smooth, smooth surface. Well, once a road starts to ravel, it's losing the fines, and once the fines are gone, then the individual rocks themselves. So this is what's called alligator fatigue. Looks like an alligator's back. Once the fines start leaving, then you see bigger areas like this and things like this happening because the binder that's there, the oil, is no longer there and or it's oxidized to the point where it doesn't have the structural integrity to hold things together.
So when did you start seeing that happen?
3 years
after?
It probably 5 to 7. And at 5 to 7, and again, a lot of it has to do with the drainage. Is the road built right? If the drainage sheds off of it correctly, then the deterioration from weather and rain, sun and rain, is less. So if things are built right, and if you hit this road prior to something like this happening to it or this, if you hit it with a fog seal or a slurry seal, which is 1/10 the cost of an overlay, if you hit it at year 3 or 5, you don't get to this point. And then you hit it again at year 7, 8, 9, 10, so you don't get to this
more preventative maintenance, which we haven't done.
We have some areas out there. I have identified two different types of asphalt needs. Number one, the asphalt need on the majority of our asphalt roads are on the Branson side. Not all of the asphalt roads are on the Branson side because Eastern Taney County has some also. But if we look at our asphalt world, predominantly you could say that there has been little to no preventive maintenance. We get to a point like this, and then we put an overlay on it, which can be 8 years. Right now, Meadow Ridge is anywhere from 8, 10, 12, 15 years old, depending on what phase you're talking about. It's ready for an overlay.
So let me ask you a different question. If we had the preventive maintenance in that 3 to 5 year mark, at what point do you have to do that full overlay?
We're looking at 20 years. If everything's done right, if the road's built right, and you've done your 2 to 3 preventive maintenance procedures, you can have feasibly, and it's reasonable to believe that a asphalt road should last you 20 years before you have to do major maintenance.
So if you compare or looked at road cost per mile and said, okay, I'm going to do I'm not going to do any preventive maintenance based on what we're doing now, you're going to have done, if we look at a 21-year model, we're going to have overlaid that road 3 times.
We will have done a preventive maintenance. Overlay is the...
No, but I've got two scenarios here for pricing here for my cost of ownership type of deal. Year one, or year zero, we overlay. Mm-hmm. Year 7, we overlay. Year 14, we overlay. That's 7 years.
$5,000 a year.
No, not
overlay. You're saying the seal.
Yeah. You're saying the 1-inch overlay.
If you have a good road at zero, you seal it at 7, you seal it at 14, and then you overlay it at 20.
Okay. But he was saying an overlay every 7 years, too.
No, I didn't mean to say that if
you,
I did.
Slurry seal. The slurry seal... We would do
that's your maintenance.
Right. So if we added that in there, what's the cost at 21 years? I guess what I'm saying, what's the comparable cost versus what we're doing now?
by doing preventive maintenance, you're delaying that reconstruct and or overlay period by probably by double. Right now, these roads are 8 to 10 years old. You would be seeing these things in 20 years.
In other words, instead of maybe a $5,000 cost per
year, it would lower.
You would cut it to maybe $2,500 per year.
Or less.
Or less.
I'll say a typical neighborhood's 300 homes with a network of streets. That neighborhood could cost us $150,000 to put a 1-inch overlay on. That same square footage or square yardage, we could probably overlay we could do a preventive maintenance, slurry seal, microsurface, anything other than an overlay. We could probably do that for $15,000 on the same amount of square footage.
Well, I guess what we need to do then is I need to see what we need to be moving forward toward that, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would overall lower the cost of the ownership of the roads.
Long term, absolutely, it's the right thing to do.
Okay. So,
this is sad, but this is what's happened in my time here. There was a point that we kind of set up long before Frank, we set it aside, we're going to overlay so many miles.
Mm-hmm.
And they just picked what they felt like was wise and they went and did it. It was not the conscious, I don't think, or I wasn't aware of it.
Okay.
We're talking about doing it.
Preventive, actual cost of ownership. Because it seems like if we would take those aggressive steps and change the way we do it, we could actually take more roads in or maintain more roads, or actually the network of roads we have would be at a better quality across the board.
Yes.
Okay.
Your overall
and
condition.
A lower cost, too.
Mm-hmm. And a lower cost.
Yes. We're not at that point. And politically, for me, some of the challenges I've had is when you talk a preventive maintenance story, it's difficult for some people to swallow that pill, the public included and political people like yourselves. Why would you spend $15,000 on a neighborhood that really doesn't look like it? You should come look at my neighborhood. It's bad. Why would you spend $15,000 on a neighborhood?
Because you've got to start somewhere is the answer.
Right, that's the correct answer. That it looks like the streets are in relatively good condition. Why would you do that?
Or why do you clean your teeth?
Right.
So that you don't get cavities, right? Seriously.
Nothing? No giggles out there?
I'm not saying a word anymore. I already got in trouble.
Are we going to go to lunch at 11? Or?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, boy, it's 11.
Let's go.
So this really is a talk that I have a lot of information.
We should
sit down and really do a serious talk. I could throw numbers out there for all the show you what all the different treatments are.
Want to have that soon.
Okay.
I really do.
Definitely.
Before the year is out. I'd like to say 2010 is the year that we're actually going to change the way we look at the way we look.
I'd love to be able to talk about that. I've done it a lot of times. I've done it for homeowners associations. I've done it for other towns, cities that I didn't even work for. I mean, it's the right thing to do. If you follow federal highway standards, this is the right way to do things. Not very many people, every place I've ever worked, they shoot for this goal of let's do it for the right way. But then for some reason, every time I've ever made a maintenance plan, a 1-year, a 3-year, a 5-year, a 10-year, that's a good plan to go by, but things come up that change that plan. Bridges wash out. You spend $1 million on fixing bridges. There goes that year's worth of overlays or slurry seals.
Do we want to go to lunch and come back?
We've got our next officials one.
And you want to table this?
I have some afternoons too.
But how long should we allow? An hour and a half? Would that get us the next meeting? Could it be an hour and a half? Is that too much time? Not enough time?
An hour and a half to 2 hours.
So you want us to block 2 hours
to work?
Okay, I'm going to pursue getting a 2-hour agenda item on the schedule on a Monday or Wednesday.
Okay,
sounds good.
And I want to get to that because then I would feel better about everything else we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got some info work that John's been doing. You'll bring.
You've got a lot. I know. I had some side conversation with Frank. He's got a lot of data. I've not given him the time to walk through it all like he's talking about doing, so I just know you've got data.
We have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's recess until 1 then.
I guess we'll be back up here.
Mm-hmm.
be right up here. I love these things.